Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
Hello and welcome to the Draft Doctors, talking all things fantasy footy draft. I'm Doss, and on the show this week, we'll be discussing all the major things we noticed from every game in round four. We'll be giving you the best options to pick up from your waiver wire, some alternative captain options for the upcoming round, and we reveal our trade of the week. Later on in the show, we'll be getting to our listener questions as well from social media. No Stevie Fizz on the show this week, but back on deck, it's grandfather time himself, the Statesman.
Yes, big win in the Listener League keeper and bit of carnage off brand, but also beat Jono in the Podcasters League. So happy days here.
And we have a bet to announce, a new bet. It was made this past week. And Statesman, would you like to reveal the new carton that is on the line between us?
Yeah, another six-pack of Pinots. It's just a bit of insurance, actually, against Cams. But isn't it amazing? As soon as I got the insurance, Dalhouse just went to jelly and only got himself a 44. He's averaging 86 right now, would you believe? So right on that cusp. So could be in for a dozen Pinots. But it is a bit of a off-brand bet, because you've been a little bit cheeky, Doss. I've had a bit of a rough trot, missed all the carnage last year, but I'm copping it all this year. Forced trades all the way around. Looks like it's going to be the same this week, especially if a couple of suspensions happen. But you just got a little bit cheeky, so I just waged a little bet. Well, let's see who finishes better off overall in AFL fantasy. So I'm quite comfortable with that, Doss, because I won't be bringing in my boys. I'll actually just go the hard sell and just make sure I smash you. And Christmas time's just going to be Pino heaven.
Sure, sure. Well, I have pumped another 100 plus into that score total overall this week. Jono's also here and probably edging slightly closer to the Gold Coast membership after the Doggies' performance on Friday night.
Yeah, g'day Uncle Doss, g'day boys, g'day listeners. All I can say is this. I am certainly on board with the Gold Coast Suns. 3-1 in the top eight. Who would have thought? Go Suns.
Get around them. And of course, George's distant relative is here as well. That's Cam Holland-Smith. G'day, Cam.
Yeah, g'day, mate. Always on board with the Gold Coast Suns. But also, I'm just a little bit disappointed that I've gone down to you in the Listener League single season draft this week, Doss. So you can get fucked.
There's no shame in it. Everyone's going down to the Dossie these days. He's up and about this year. But first up, it's our round review, looking at every game and what we noticed from round four, starting with the Thursday night Sydney-Melbourne game at the SCG, Statesman.
Yes, stream loophole defenders. In nearly every game, there is a fender that gathers the plus sixes, probably generally who you're not expecting. So in this game, it was Cunningham cracking up the 128 points. That's 50 points over his average. And Marty Hoare actually scoring 93, which is 51 points over average. So Marty was available in nearly every league. So look at the options, look at the matchups, but see who's on the Thursday or Friday games. But it's, I reckon it's always worthwhile. A potential plus six defender, chuck them on the bench, and if they work out fine, then you can actually roll their scores over for the remainder of the weekend, because generally defenders are, and forward sometimes, but generally defenders are the most concerning in your draft team. So if you can get a good score on Thursday or Friday night, you should be streaming them. Secondly, the blonde bombshell goes all right in the guts, doesn't he? I know I had a little sook, if you want to call it that, 2 weeks ago when I was last on, when Horse just kept him playing forward. It obviously come out that he was suffering a little bit with his ankle, but he obviously listened to everyone because he's been getting good midfield rotations ever since and pumped out 2 tons in a pretty big one a fortnight ago. And last but not least, and it was being concerning all pre-season, but on first look at it, it doesn't seem that it's going to impact too much. So the Demons dual ruck worked on the weekend. I know it's early days, but it did not seem to hinder Max's scoring, especially when he was actually racking them up especially the plus sixes late in the game, which really pumped up his score. So it was few that were concerned, and I was very much in that case of what was going to happen. We need to see it probably play out for a few more weeks at the moment, but early signs are good for the big Max to remain a top two ruck.
Yeah, and the good thing was, I think, that Proust looked pretty good up forward and even kicked a couple of snags, which was positive. So, you know, he still had his 13 hitouts, but of course, Maxi Gawn went out and got 55. But do you think Statesmen, when they come up, I mean, Cal Sinclair, probably not your biggest hitout merchant out there, who only got 9 and Sam Reed got 4. Do you think in the upcoming weeks versus other rucks, it could maybe change a little bit and still be a little bit concerning? Or, I mean, he pumps out a big score, so you're pretty much okay now?
Yeah, watch and see. That's what it exactly is right now. No, I mean, if he's your ruckman and you would have gone early on him, you're just going to have to ride it out and see what happens and see what selection happens. Jono?
Did Proust get injured on Thursday night? Did he go off with a shoulder injury, or was I just imagining that, hoping Gawn went big?
He did, but he did return.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so it was 70% time on ground for him. All right, well, it was a sad game on Friday night where arguably the greatest fantasy player of all time, of course, Chris Mayne, went down very early in his 200th. But what did you notice in that one, Jono?
It was a shit first half of football with both teams just retaining the ball and playing keepings off and not wanting to move the ball forward quick. And that resulted in pretty ordinary fantasy scores for the first half of the game, and thus affecting the overall game, unless your name is Brody Grundy, who just won every single hit out in that game for a big fantasy score there. One thing I did notice after the game, I go on the Western Bulldogs forums and see what the whinging's all about, and they're whinging about Tim English, saying he should be dropped. Now, if these nuffies know anything about football, the kid's 19 years old, and he's up against the best ruckman in the league. Tim English scored 86 AFL fantasy and 70 Supercoach points from only 6 hitouts. So that's telling me he's getting the ball, he's getting marks, and he's getting tackles. Ruckman and big go guys take longer to develop. So in a couple of years' time, when his body fills out and he starts winning a few more tap hitouts, he's going to be scoring exactly the same as Grundy. So all those nuffies on the Western Bulldogs forums, go get stuffed and learn something about football.
Yeah, it's an awesome point, and you'd be loving it if you've got him in a keeper. He's just definitely the... I remember a few sort of arguments whether or not he or Sean Darcy would be the next sort of big ruck on the thing, and, you know, that's still probably up for debate, but seeing Darcy now in the waffle and Tim English just being backed in, even though he's not winning the hit-out count, he's still doing a lot around the ground. And I think last week I sort of alluded to, I wondered whether the Bulldogs would change their strategy due to the massive hit-out loss that they are having. And it wasn't a knock on English. He's still playing really awesome. But that question still sort of remains for me, whether or not they do go to bring someone in. What do you think there, Jono?
Well, the Bulldogs are still winning the clearances. They're sharking the opposition ruckman. So it's just all about competing and getting game time into English, who's he is breaking even, but he's not actually winning the hit out, so he'll get there, and the Doggies midfield's pretty good at the moment.
Yeah, I think if anything, they might bring Trent Grover. So he may get a game in the next couple of weeks, just to supplement Tim English a little bit. But
what about Sweet?
Shackie will get dropped. He's pretty ordinary on the weekend, so either, and Boyd was pretty ordinary in the VFL, I thought, so I don't mind that, because Trent Grover can play forward.
What about Sweet?
Sweet? I don't think he's ready.
And Cam, with Chris Mayne, the GOAT there, do you have anything sort of more on that in terms of the injury? That you'll be releasing an injury report on Monday, but is there anything news on that?
Yeah, just the initial report, and it was basically everyone thought a corky to the bum, but it was, I think, a little bit more serious than that. It seems to have been a knock to the kidney, and all reports say that he went off to hospital shortly after. Jono, have you heard anything else?
It's more of a cracked vertebrae in the back, a cracked bone that I
is
read.
Is that confirmed?
I don't know if it was actually confirmed, but it was another report I read as well. So it could be a cracked back.
Jeez, that's not good.
No.
No good. Well, Matty DeBoer, the tagging god, grabbed another scalp, and no Geelong cracked a ton on Saturday afternoon despite a close game. What did you notice in the Cats-Giants game, Cam?
Yeah, thanks for taking my point there, Doss. But just talk about the absolute hand that is Matty DeBoer, because he's wearing players like a glove. I just want to quickly go through every round so far, the players that he's kept to absolutely abysmal fantasy scores. So Zach Merritt in the first round, we know he was undercooked, but that's no excuse for a 50 AF and 67 Supercoach under Matt DeBoer. Elliot Yeo, 73 AF, 72 Supercoach. Dusty, 68 AF, 60 Supercoach. Tim Kelly in the first half against the Cats, 26 AF and 28 Supercoach. And Dangerfield in the second half, 16 AF, 15 Supercoach. And it's just... The thing that I notice is, you know, if I'm a Fife owner right now, I am very, very, very nervous about him coming back next week and wearing a DeBoer.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, so he will cop the big DeBoer tag. Plus, used to play alongside him, didn't he? So he might even know a little few of the ins and outs there as well.
Yeah, a few cheeky secrets. And I, you know what? was really interesting, it's from a later game, but... You know, without Fife, so if Fife doesn't make it back because his concussion was so serious, Walters owners should be wary. Walters was tagged by Hutchings this week.
There you go. Well, in a sight for sore eyes, Zach Merritt was back to his ball magnet best in the Dons Lions game, while the hashtag M2 at best Lockie Neal continued to dominate Statesman.
Yeah, I have to wear that one. That's going to be the first thing played on the Suck Show, isn't it? Yeah. But Lockie Neal is simply racking up the pill. There's no doubts about that. I will be beware, because his form is so good, you think the tag's got to be coming at him. So just be careful if you're looking at him as your captain option. Obviously, he plays Thursday this week, so obviously he's probably the best VC option you've got out there. So throw the VC on, take the punt, see what happens with regarding to matchup and tags. But you've got to think it's going to be coming soon. Only 11% of leagues had Tipper on the field. So those teams would have been enjoying his seven-goal haul and massive point score and would have enjoyed the day. But now is the option for those type of games is actually to trade him high. So sell him why he's got people going, wow, how good is he? 139 right next to his name. So see if there's anyone that needs a forward line runner and see if you can get a piece of action for that. And that's when you've got to pounce. Don't think he's going to be doing this in each weekend. Use the option, sell him high. The last thing is Brisbane have some real quality, especially young midfield depth, but this does mean that they rotate their players a lot. The one that seems to be getting hurt right now since round one is Jared Lyons. So you look at the information from round one between Lockie Neal and Jared Lyons, there's been a distinct change. Not only did Lockie Neal get a bit of attention in the second half, but Jared Lyons' midfield time has reduced dramatically. He's actually only having around 70% game time, and he is certainly suffering score-wise. So just be mindful while Berry, Neal and all that are getting that quality time, someone hurts on the back end, and you never know when that actually changes, when they actually want to start giving the young fellas a rest. So just be mindful of that. But that was a great swap, that Jared Lyons and Lockie Neal. Thanks, Jono.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to make a little point as well on the Essendon team, just for these sort of a bit of a keeper watch perhaps with those deeper leagues. Now, with Essendon, they had a pretty terrible ruck duel. They got smashed by Steph Martin in that one and the Big O. But we had Zach Clark with 9 hitouts and Bell Chambers, who was injured, so he played about 71% time on ground. He got 16 hitouts. So I'd just be, 15. If you're in those sort 15. Of deeper keepers, Sam Draper got best on ground in the VFL last week. And I mean, I don't think they've really established themselves as a ruck at Essendon. So if you are looking, I mean, we're only talking really Tim English and Sean Darcy, maybe a couple others that are coming up as those next sort of established rucks to come through. So I don't know, maybe Sam Draper's worth a little punt there. Well, on Saturday evening, plenty of the stars were out for Richmond, but it was a good thing their best player was still out there as Brandon Ellis led the Tigers to a close win over the Power Cam.
Yeah, that's right. Our best player by far, actually, which is, you know, something we haven't said since 2015. tell you what, with Richmond, we've said it for the last few weeks, stream defenders against Richmond every week. Burton, 102 AF, Houston, 92 AF, Jonas, 86 AF, Cleary, 82 AF. Next week, they have Sydney, and there should be a bunch on your waiver that you should be able to pick up and potentially get a decent score out of. Rampy went absolutely ham this week, which was really surprising, but he's only owned in 71% of teams, so you might be able to drag him in. And I wouldn't go past Alirelia for the same reason.
All right, yeah, it's good to keep an eye on those sort of ones there. So just stream those defenders against Richmond is the major talking point there from Cam. All right, and the next one, a nomination for one of the worst games to watch in the round, despite the close final score. Jono, what did you notice in the North Melbourne-Adelaide game?
Absolutely fucking nothing, because it was the worst game of football I've watched in my life, and I wanted to shoot myself. So it's North, they're a fantasy vortex, they sucked the life out of everything, and that's my report on the game. I actually switched it off because it was killing me.
Cam, could you give an injury update on Brad Crouch? Saw the little sticker next to him.
Yeah, so he copped an elbow to the face, straight to the nose. He actually came back on afterwards and played out the game. It's not to say that his nose isn't broken. He's just a tough cookie. I reckon wait probably the next couple of days and see if he is going to miss a week and or maybe have to wear a Batman mask, which you know cool. I'm secretly hoping is a yes.
And shout out to our draft doctor favourite as well. Jed Godison returned to the field on the weekend with a nice little 72 and 70% time on ground. Always getting the low percentage time on ground. That's Jed Godison's marquee. Now, the Mighty Weagles
won. He was actually running
there
with Rory Sloane on the game on Saturday night. So maybe well, a tagging role with Jacobs out. Wasn't a hard tag. It was just a run with role. So very interesting to watch.
Well, it definitely worked. I mean, Sloane got 77 for the week. It's not exactly a great score. Maybe they're going to use him like that going forward.
Well, Goldstein was just destroying Riley O'Brien around the ground as well, so they weren't getting first use of the ball as well, the Crows midfielders.
So anyway, 8 straight derby wins on the trot for the reigning premiers and, you know, back-to-back flags on the way. So what did you notice in that game there, Cam?
Yeah, the Gaff-Sheed relationship is very, very real and not as sensual as maybe everyone would have liked. It's likely just
Cam,
West...
Cam,
yes, yes.
At least he's playing.
Yeah.
So Dom off.
Drive by.
So have you seen, though, that actually my position in the Dom off has improved this week without Dom Tyson playing? Brilliant. No, so anyway, so, There's sort of loose accumulator role that West Coast have been playing for a couple of years. And Gaff, it's been Gaff's role forever. And Sheed basically just filled that position whilst he was gone. And it allowed him to rack up, you know, that 35 disposals every week. And since Gaff has come back, Dom Sheed has really pushed forward a lot, playing that sort of forward pinch hitting in the mid, while Gaff has racked up consecutive games of 35 disposals or more. I'd say barring injury, you've probably maybe missed out on your sell high option for Dom Sheed. He's probably going to stick with this role for the next few weeks. You may get a dual position, probably not this round, but the round after of dual positions. But yeah, you've probably missed your trick if you're still holding.
Hey, also, Cam, I don't know, this is probably isn't on your radar for the injury watch because he's not necessarily fantasy relevant, but focusing on the other way, Joel Hamling got injured in that game, and it seemed like the West Coast forwards there, we had Kennedy and Darling both kick 3, and it was with ease as well. Like, the Dockers, bigger defenders, just couldn't keep up with them. Do you think in the future weeks, maybe streaming forwards against Dockers if Hamling is to miss time? Because I think it was a groin. Do you think that could also be something maybe we could look out for?
Yeah, it's probably worth a look. I mean, they are coming up against Richmond next week, and it's just I'm expecting with Fife back, even though he's probably going to get tagged a fair bit, that Frio may actually win that game. So, I don't know. You could probably give it a whirl.
All right, well, Statesman was tasked with the game of the round as the Draft Doctor's favourite team, the Gold Coast Suns, moved to 3-1 after defeating Carlton at Metricon.
Yeah, just a quick point, Doss. I think it was the other head. I think it was a concussion. But that's A-okay. Gold Coast and Carlton. Yes, the Gold Coast are relevant. Not only are they 3-1 and actually sitting in the 8 as we speak, this is the team, the worst team ever put on the park, and we're going to be winless and sit on the bottom of the table. They're sitting in the 8 after 4 rounds. There was also some questions of whether they'll actually have any players that are quite relevant, or if they would actually have anyone that would go close to being 100-plus scorers for the year. Well, currently they've got 3. That's 2 midfields and also Witts in the ruck, who, to be fair, has probably had some good matchups early in the season, but averaging pretty decent scoring. I think it's 93, 94, and now 126. So he's averaging about the 102, 103 mark. So certainly sitting there as a great value ruckman. People would have picked him up in the mid round. So if you're averaging over 100 as a ruck, that's going pretty well. And secondly, and certainly the last point for this one, the data or data is in. And after 4 rounds, if we were to do the top players under 22 a game, Sam Walsh would be at number 1. That's the data coming through. This boy is an absolute gun.
Yep.
Wow, he's taken over Clayton Oliver for top spot.
Yeah, well, the data would actually have him there. It's 2 tons from 4 games and a magnificent average.
That's awesome stuff. And it's becoming a case of, I know I've got him in a couple of keeper leagues where sort of you think that there's mids that you might want to play ahead of him, and then he's just outscoring them week to week. It's becoming a fact where you just can't leave him on your bench anymore because he's just pumping out big tons every week now.
Well, and how many 18-year-olds can we say that
about? I know. It's crazy. I wonder if he'd be on track to get one of the best rookie averages from a top 10 pick anyway, at least for the last... I don't know, ages. I think the best was Heppel at 87, I think. When I was doing my sort of last, 25 years or something, I did an article, and I think Heppel was possibly up there with the best of the top 10, and that was an 86 or 87. So he's on track at the moment to beat that anyway. Well, anyway, turns out Cam might be able to shut down that Seb Ross support group, while Statesman boy Blake Akers was back to his best as well in the Saints-Hawks game, Jono.
Yeah, Seb Ross was doing it quite comfortably without baby legs yet again. We saw marginally improved from the week before, but absolutely knocked it out of the park this week. But the Hawks were missing their clearance beasts in Jago O'Meara and Tommy Mitchell. They were just absolutely smashed around the ball in centre clearances, and we saw that clearly with all the midfielders for St Kilda doing particularly well. And also Jack Scrimshaw, he should be floating around on a few waiver wires. Stratton and Frawley both went down throughout the game, and he got a massive boost from them both being off. I dare say more so Frawley than Stratton, because he was just running and jumping at literally everything. So I'll be talking about him in the waiver wires coming up, but yeah, certainly Jack Scrimshaw, I'd be picking him up if he's floating around for you.
It's been a bit of talk as well about Rowan Marshall, whether he can sort of keep up what he's doing. And another pretty solid score there, 28 hitouts and just carving it up around the ground with an 88 score in Dream Team and 119 in your favourite game there, Supercoach Jono. So promising signs from Rowan Marshall.
You can throw him in the Tim English, Sean Darcy category as well for young ruckman that's coming through, so...
I think it's pretty interesting as well. Dulcie, you gave, a buy low target of Blake Akers maybe a couple of weeks ago from memory. And he's come out finally and pumped a 93 playing sometime in the ruck.
Yeah, couple of hitouts in there.
Couple of hitouts.
I think
it was always
going to happen coming back. Like that first week, you could see it was rusty and he got barely any time on ground and stuff. I think they might have dropped, was it Dunstan this week as well? So it was
smashed
Dunstan
it in the VFL.
Yeah.
Oh, did he really?
37 touches, 10 marks, heap of tackles.
That is his comp.
So it'll be interesting to see what the Saints do next week.
Yeah, how's Jack Loney? 3 goals, 5 as well. Just carving it up at the moment anyway. All right, well, I think that is pretty much it. That's the round 4 review. But still to come, we have waiver wire pickups, our trade of the week, and of course, Captain Risky, as well as listener questions. But first, Cam, we are pushing towards 200 ratings to get you on the live stream doing some Smirnoff Ice Shoey. Of course, your favorite drink there. And the listeners have been leaving some ratings and even reviews, Steve. And getting behind hashtag 200 to spite Cam.
That's right. And the first one's probably my favorite review of, well, review title of all time. And the honesty, I think, really shines through. Titled, Can I Borrow a Review? A big throwback to Kirk Van Houten's musical career. And the comment, just boosting the review numbers. That's simple enough. Thank you, FishBrad23. And the second one is Bad Bad Hammer. These guys are more powerful than a tornado. With words of wisdom more insightful than Attenborough, they will come at you with superior knowledge in which the traders can only dream. Ooh, shout out Warnie and the trader team. I live and work in Hong Kong, and these guys remind me on a weekly basis why I left Australia. Statesman for PM, go the Dogs.
Man that knows what it's all about.
All right,
change the Dogs to the Gold Coast, please, sir.
Help us get to 200. Make Cam do that live on air, Shoey. It's going to be fantastic stuff. So on to our waiver wire pickups for the week using the guideline of under 65% ownership on Ultimate Footy. Remember that for shallower leagues, there's probably some better options out there. And also keep checking every week who people are dropping because there's often some gems that get dropped. Just like when Jono dropped Bailey Smith to the waiver wire in our keeper recently and Dossie snapped him up without a moment's hesitation. All right, Jono, what are your waiver pickups for this week?
Well, I would have gone with something a little bit better than Bailey Smith, whereas in our home league someone dropped Tommy Mack and actually scored quite well on the weekend, so maybe go with someone who's a bit more established than a rookie. But anyway, moving on. Matty DeBoer, we spoke about him. He's in 64% of teams. He is listed as a forward, and as we spoke on the show, he's playing as the tagging role, so he is in and around the ball. He's scoring quite nicely, a lot of high 70s, low 80s, so if you can get him as an F5 and he's pumping those goals out, he might even throw out a ton occasionally. So I'd be looking to grab Matty DeBoer if you are struggling for a forward. I spoke about him in the Hawthorn Saints write-up, and that is Jack Scrimshaw. 38% of teams he has owned. If Frawley is out with that ham bone, then he will get a big boost again. Had the 100 in Supercoach, and I think it was about 90 in AFL Fantasy, scoring quite well. Jacob Wiedering is up against the Bulldogs this weekend in just 27% of teams. And if there's one thing we know is that the Bulldogs cannot kick the ball inside 50, so he should be picking off things left, right and centre for another big score. We spoke about him as well, kicked the 7 goals. That's Tippin Woody, 27% of teams, up against North Melbourne this weekend. So he should actually score minus 150 because North Melbourne sucked the vortex out of all fantasy scores. And the last one, probably wouldn't waver for him, but he's one that's caught my eye. That's Alex Keith. He's in 36% of teams, and he's actually been scoring pretty well as a defender. He had 107 Supercoach and 94 AFL Fantasy on the weekend, and been pushing those mid-70s, low 80s scores, and he's been averaging 18 possessions and 7 marks a game, so just someone I've been keeping an eye on, maybe just a bit of a stash later on.
Nice one. And Cam, what have you got for us?
Yeah, I like that Alex Keith pick, by the way. He's doing a lot of what Tom Doty or Duday or Duty would do. So just the intercept marking, looking really, you know, he's loose man behind the ball, looks great, to be honest. I've actually got Jake Stringer at 61% ownership as a streamer going in. I know. Going into next week, I think he could do quite well against North. North have been a little bit unpredictable, but have given up a whole bunch of good scores against four forwards. As I mentioned before about Aaliyah times 2, he is only 66%, so that 1% over our threshold. So sorry about that, boys. But versus Richmond next week, who, as I mentioned, they've been giving up massive scores to defenders since round 1. The next one is, a bit yucky as well, but Cale Hooker returned this week for a 90-ish score as a defender, and he's listed in only 48% of teams, so you should be able to pick him up. If Michael Hurley is going to be playing that sort of lockdown defender role and Cale Hooker is going to stay back, he actually scores quite well as a defender consistently. And finally, I have the freestyle BMX legend, Dave Mirra, 45% owned, and he's had another great week, scoring just under 90. I think he's, as far as a D5 goes, he's probably serviceable for the rest of the year as long as he's named.
Well, he's one that got a bit of a bump as well when Stratton came off with that head clash. So if Stratton misses through concussion, then, yeah, certainly a good one to play this week.
Yeah, absolutely. And like even last week, I think he scored, high 70s. He's probably okay for a D5.
Yeah, for sure.
You got any more to add there, Statesman?
Yeah, well, Alex Keith was my number one this week. I'm really hot on him, especially coming against the Gold Coast on the weekend. But one more to add on, which is Jordan Dawson, midfielder for the Sydney Swans, only owned by 18%. Finally looks like he's got his place in the 22. He had a 71 last week and a 92 this week. So he's actually getting the role as well. He's a ball magnet in the NEAFL, 22 years of age. So he's got a fair bit of actually football experience behind him. And it'll be worthwhile to step up to your M7 if you are struggling there. Or, of course, a bench reserve mid. So that's Jordan Dawson, midfielder for Sydney Swans.
Very nice. And I've got a little bit of an extra segment to add on to the waiver wire pickups, and that is Dossie's speculative ad. So I'm going to try and predict some potential returns to get you ahead of the curve. This is like your Mason Redmond last week. You know, he pumped out a 68. That's not too bad. So
isn't this
week,
my late week pickup article you're just stealing here?
Is it?
That's what it sounds like.
I think I'm going way too early. Yeah, these are the early ones. All right, well, maybe Hugh Greenwood would be on that that list, Jono, but he is 64% owned. He had 33 disposals, 10 tackles, 2 goals, 139 fantasy points in the Sandful, so should get a recall pretty soon. And that was Gibbs in that same game, had 28 disposals, 6 marks, 6 tackles for people that are concerned owners there. But the ones that I'm sort of looking at here for a little bit more of the sort of unknown ones would be Jared Leanart. He's only 30% owned at the moment, and he had a pretty solid return, 130 fantasy points, 33 disposals in the Sandful there. And do you guys reckon Jack Trengove is going to get a crack this year? He's defensive eligible. He had another massive game of 35 disposals. Do you guys think he will actually get a go this year or not?
Role player.
Who's he going to displace?
Well, if he's bashing down the door, though.
But they've got blokes ahead of him, I think. You've got Hartlett and Broadbent to come back. You just mentioned Leonard, all ahead of him, and they're playing Sandful.
All right, and a guy from your boys here, Jono, 1% owned. So he had a fractured neck last year after coming back from a separate injury as well. His first two games back in the VFL have been outstanding. So he's a forward eligible. 29 disposals and 2 snags on the weekend, and I'm talking about Lucas Webb showing some big signs in the VFL. Jono, does that excite you at all?
No, because that's his level, VFL. Once he gets to the big time, he shits the bed.
Nah, it's all right.
Again, someone like a Lin Jong or a Bailey Dale, again, ahead of him.
Could I give a little shout out as well? 67% ownership. It's sad to see. 67%, just slightly out. Bailey Williams. He's... surely going to be back in there soon.
He was horrible.
All right, well, on to our trade of the week with Jono.
Yeah, so I'm going swinging for the fences on this one. It's the Statesman's boy. It is lunch meat himself. He has not replicated what he was doing last year, and he is well down on performance this year. He's only averaging the 78 in Supercoach and just a touch under 90 in AFL Fantasy. So you probably got more of a chance of getting him in Supercoach, where you would have spent a pick in the first 5 rounds, I'd imagine, to pick him up. So only the 1 ton in both formats. You could throw an offer out there because there would be a lot of frustrated owners of lunch meat out there. So, and he's certainly one I'm targeting in our home league this week.
What sort of a player do you think would get the deal done, though? Would it It's a tough one to think, because I know because you would have valued him so high when you drafted him. What do you think could get the deal done? What's the sort of player that you think?
You're looking at maybe an M4 or 5, depending on what the team's setup is, but you wouldn't be throwing out anything massive. But it's the buy low option and just throw out something that might tickle their fancy, and it's all about looking at team structure. So I'll be having a look at this person's team, seeing what they need, and throwing out a reasonable offer. But I wouldn't want to be spending too much on him, because he might not get back to where he was last year.
All right, fair enough. Now moving on to Captain Risky, and Statesman is going to have to come up with something pretty hot this week after I busted out a 114 in the Captain Risky segment last week with my Fairani call.
Oh, geez, that's not a Captain Risky. But I'm going to give you one right here, and it's going to outscore that. And without many of his senior Tigers players around at the moment, and finally gets back to the role that made him so fantasy relevant a few years ago, and going up against the Swans, even though they'll tag, but Dusty's coming back and Dusty will receive the tag. This man should rack him up. It's Braden Ellis. That's right.
Brandon's brother?
Yeah, Brandon Ellis. Sorry. And I actually have written Braden. Maybe I had Doss's boy in my head. But I think Ellis is going to go huge. He had a magnificent game against Port. I think he'll go even bigger against the Swans. So I'm looking at a 120. So it's a great Captain Risky.
All right, we'll check out all the Statesman skippers on the Draft Doctors website, released every Wednesday, as well as Cam's injury report, a dozen deals by Sam Porter, and Jono's late week pickups, which I might have stolen that segment a bit there, because Lucas Webb was no doubt going to be on the list there on a Friday, so he'll get you those final gems before the weekend, and find all those great articles every week at thedraftdoctors.com.au. So on to some listener questions from social media. You can find us at The Draft Doctors on Twitter and search The Draft Doctors on Facebook and Instagram. So I'll just get those questions up really quick. So someone here, SG Supercoach Junkie, wants us to rank. This is probably for you, Jono, here. Could you please rank the following for my upcoming Supercoach waiver? Ebert, Lobb, and Pittard.
I would be going Ebert, Pittard, and Lobb. Because we know Ebert is first half specialist, even though last year he continued it on. And Pittard's just really in some really hot form at the moment, and playing the role that he was recruited for at North Melbourne. And Lobb up against Big Mummy this weekend, so it's a bit of a grudge match. And I can see Mummy doing the spear on him and just breaking some ribs, because we know Mummy likes to do that.
Right, this next question comes from Kyle Brett. Says, love the podcast, boys. And this is a question, this is a bit of an off-brand question by the looks of things regarding fantasy. Are we finding that we are going to keep our rookies much longer than expected due to a lack of upgrade targets? Maybe Statesman, you take this one.
Yeah, I don't think so at the moment. I think we feel like this every single year, but injuries form, decisions change all the time. We've seen from Richmond there, just introducing, I think, another three players over the last 2 weeks that come up as great options. So, look, I wouldn't have thought so, but just keep your eye on selection. There's always young'uns coming through.
Next question from Elliot Owens. Great work, fellas. Wondering if you think Rowan Marshall is the real deal, and what trade value might be in terms of mids in a 10-man AFL fantasy comp. Does anyone want to take this one? Rowan Marshall, just his value in terms of mids in a 10-team comp.
In terms of mids? Well, it's a hard one, because it's a ruck forward for a mid, and then we generally add the 10-point rule here, so... Well, Statesman, I think you'd like to add 15 for a midfielder, plus 15 midfielder.
Yeah, but that's saying 128 on his...
Exactly, well, that's what I was getting to. So
which doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
I think the biggest thing is whether he is actually going to be long-term their number one option. He's looking quite good at the moment. They're having some success, so I think they're going to back it in for the time being. But when Longer is fit and ready to go... He's longer than number one, and Marshall becomes the forward and becomes the pinch hitter instead of Blake Akers. Probably most likely you would think that that will be the case. And I think, therefore, his scoring will potentially drop. This is why I reckon you need to trade him now, trade him high.
Yeah, and he, I mean, if you look at him in the context of the other rucks in the game, he's actually ranked fourth best. Like, if he's a forward at the moment, isn't he? Or is he ruck forward?
Correct. Only a forward.
But he'll get his dual position status. If he is a ruck, he will be the fourth best ruck in the game. Trade him now, for sure. Yeah.
All right, this one comes from Mark, and it's not a question, just a statement. You seem to have been correct regarding Brayshaw and his tag issues. But was there some serious attention there on the weekend? And I think that was you, Statesman, that sort of called maybe, you know, he will sort of cop a bit more attention this year.
Yeah, I think they shared it. I think it started with Oliver and rolled over to Brayshaw. Brayshaw generally starts slow and has booming second halves. Well, they stopped the booming second half this week. Had a little bit of an injury concern as well. I don't think it's anything major. Had a knock to the knee, if I recall correctly. But, yeah, it's one to watch because he certainly was playing well for the last couple of weeks leading up to that one. So it's certainly watch for the owners.
I don't think you can be concerned at all because I think he's going to balance out that scoring with some massive 140s and 150s. And honestly, I haven't seen a guy that's that good on both sides of his body in a long time. He can just get a kickoff out of like the smallest space. It's just awesome for fancy coaches to see.
Did you ever not watch Sam Mitchell play football?
Yeah, well, he hasn't played.
Sorry. Sam Mitchell is way too old for Dossie Delight.
I apologize. That's true.
Plus, he went back to Hawthorn, the bastard. Anyway, what is Fremantle's plan for their ruck? Lobb is doing quite well, but Darcy return and his scoring output take a hit. Does Darcy's return? Okay, sorry. So he's wondering if Darcy... Well, Darcy played the waffle. I guess he's wondering, do they bring back him in the future weeks and is Lobb going to be taking a hit in the scoring department if they do decide to go that way?
Well, I actually don't think that Rory Lobb's doing that well as a ruck. He's doing well as a big body that can take a mark and be a linkman, but as a ruck, he's getting low 20s or below hitouts, so he's not winning the contest. Whereas you with Sean Darcy, he's less capable around the midfield as the linkman, but he'll probably get you more hitouts. So I guess it'll be depending what they want to play and what game style they want to do. If they want to give first option to Fife and the likes, then they'll probably go Darcy. If they want to win the game through transition from defence, they'll probably go Rory Lobb.
Yeah. And, I mean, Darcy didn't do anything wrong in the waffle, for people wondering. He carved up. So, if they are going to go with that strategy, he will be, you know, first back in line there. Now, we've got one last question here from Russ. In my draft keeper league, should I be playing Heppel or Zaharakis or both? I guess we'd need to know what your other options there are for the third person there. But Essendon have Kangaroos next week, so Jono would probably say don't play any of them.
Pretty much, but then the week after they play Collingwood on Anzac Day, so that should be a pretty good game. That Essendon's had a few wins on the board, but I am a Zaharakis owner and in Supercoach, but in a couple of formats actually, and started off slowly, but now he's gotten into a groove and scoring quite well. So I haven't watched any Essendon games. Someone who has can let me know if he's had a role change or what, but I couldn't tell you. I'm just enjoying the scores.
See, I've been keeping my eye on Heppel a little bit because I'm an owner, and he has been having massive second half spikes. Like, he's been starting extremely slow, and then just as soon as junk time comes around, he just seems to get the mark kicks, easy possessions, but not really having an impact on the game, if that makes sense. I'm shaky on both, is the way I'd say it, because I'm still shaky on Essendon. They could go down a rabbit hole very quickly.
In a draft, you're playing them both.
All right, well, thanks everyone for tweeting in. Follow us at The Draft Doctors on Twitter. I think that's it for The Draft Doctors podcast. Check out the website for all our great articles and keep those ratings and reviews coming in on iTunes. Hashtag 200 to spite Cam. And let's get him doing this shoey. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.